This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing this program on May 20th. And for those of you who are listening to it live, whether you're in the Bay Area, whether you're on the Internet at www.klw.org, I want to invite you to call in, ask questions. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255, if you'd like to put that down. The topic is landlord-tenant laws, issues, and disputes, everybody. You seem to love that kind of stuff. And my guests are landlord-tenant attorneys Mark Seidenfeld, who has law offices in San Bruno. And I want to let you know that Mark represents tenants from time to time and landlords from time to time, but never at the same time.
Not in the same case.
Not in the same case. So that's what we know there. The other guest is Salvatore Timpano, who I think you also know. Sal has offices in San Francisco. Both of these gentlemen are incredibly knowledgeable about landlord-tenant law. And we're going to talk about things that I think might help you if you're a tenant or maybe even if you're a landlord. That's the whole point of doing this program. And so what's the latest? Maybe we should start with the rent board in San Francisco. Briefly, what's the latest regarding the rent board ordinance? Anything going on, Sal, this point?
Chuck, yeah, there's a lot of new stuff going on. One of the hottest topics is landlord-tenant buyout agreements.
Mm-hmm.
Up until the recent past, they have not been regulated. Landlords and tenants were free to a large extent to agree on buyout agreements, and they had some idea where the agreements, the financial aspect of the agreement should lay, because the rent board has some amounts that apply to buyout agreements for Ellis Acts or owner move-ins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those amounts were used to help landlords and tenants agree on a buyout agreement that didn't involve the Ellis Act or an owner move-in. Now, however, all buyout agreements are going to be regulated and will require
under the rent board regulations in San Francisco only. This
yes.
is not statewide at this point.
Not yet. Correct.
Yeah.
San Francisco only. And it's because of the housing crisis that San Francisco is undergoing.
What is the median rent right now for an apartment in San Francisco? Because I think people would like to hear this.
Sure. And it changes from neighborhood to neighborhood, but it can be as high as $6,000 for a one-bedroom. Depending on where it is in San Francisco, it's really outrageous.
That's not normal, though. That's not the average.
No.
Right.
No.
But that's some pockets of the city are commanding that kind of rent. Other places are maybe in the $1,500 to $2,000.
I thought I saw somewhere recently that the median rental charge per month was something like about $3,200, $3,300. Am I right or wrong? Do you know?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I get my information from my clients, which are landlords and tenants, and it seems about right to be a new market rate average in the city somewhere.
So what does it mean that these buyout agreements are regulated now?
Well,
what does that actually mean?
It means that if a landlord wants to get back possession of a unit and wants to do it without an eviction, the landlord can offer the tenant money in exchange for buying the tenancy. But the agreement that they will ultimately enter into will have to comply with rent board regulations.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in writing. It has to be filed with the rent board.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most important aspects of this for landlords and tenants is that a tenant can back out of the agreement, change their mind after 45 days.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to play out.
What kind of money? Is there a percentage of what the person has been paying, what the tenant has been paying as rent? Is there a percentage on that as to what the buyout would be? Or is it very flexible as far as what the landlord is willing to pay?
I believe it's flexible at this point. The rent board has buyout amounts in place that are in the $5,000 range, and that's kind of a starting point.
Yeah.
So it's always going to be north of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, if you would, Mark, this is a wonderful story.
Sure.
Some client of yours called you with regard to his tenant called him saying that the tenant wanted to buy his home. Tell us that story, if you would.
Yes. I've been away from my office for a couple of weeks, and I came back today and found a message from a landlord client of mine who told me that his tenant had called him. The tenant wants to buy a house and is raising money for a down payment, and he wanted to know if the landlord would contribute to that by paying him a certain amount of money to move.
How much?
He wanted $15,000. The guy's been there for 2 years. It's not a problem, tenancy. There's never been an issue. There's never been any kind of problem with this tenant. He just decided he wants to buy a house and thinks that the landlord ought to contribute to the down payment on that house.
On what basis would you say that the tenant is thinking about this?
Tenants in San Francisco are a particularly well-educated group when it comes to their rights as tenants. The city goes out of its way, and there are legal aid groups that go out of their way, all sorts of other nonprofits, to make sure tenants are informed of their rights. Tenants are aware that there are many buyouts going on in this city all the time, long before the rent board passed these regulations. And it's an ongoing thing, and there's a lot of gossip about how much you're getting and how much the other guy got and this sort of thing.
Wow.
It's extraordinary. The housing shortage in San Francisco is real, and it's only getting worse.
Sure, of course. Let me also let you know, everybody, that this segment of Your Legal Rights is funded by the San Mateo County Bar Association as well as the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Additional funding of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the California Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. We are doing this program live on May 20th, and so the phone number that I'm going to give you is only good on this date. But I want to encourage you, whether you are listening in the Bay Area, listening on the internet at www.kow.org, to call in with your landlord-tenant questions, comments, concerns, etc. That's what makes this program, I think, so valuable to you. And that number is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you would like to call in and pose a question, ask a question, make a comment, make a complaint, etc., we would like you to do that because that's what makes this program so valuable for you and helps to educate people who are listening to the program. And so please don't be bashful. Make advantage of the fact that my guests are here. In case you tuned in the last couple of minutes, my guests are two very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys, Salvatore Timpano and Mark Seidenfeld. As you may recall, Mark has been on this program, over 10 years?
I think so, yes.
Sal has been involved with the program for several years, principally for Call a Lawyer Night, which we do on the fourth Wednesday of the month, and that we are going to be doing, of course, on May 27th. And that number is a magic number, which I'm sure you've heard many times. So on the evening of May 27th, starting at 7 p.m., you can talk to attorneys off the air. No obligation on your part whatsoever. It's a public service these attorneys are serving. And that number, if you want to jot that down, also is 1-800-525-9917. So what I want to do is I want to take a call as quickly as we can and get the listeners on the air with their questions, their comments, their concerns. Let's move it really as quickly as we can because I want to get as many calls in here as possible. And I also want to let you know that next week, just so that you are aware of this, we're going to do a program on drug addiction and the hope for people who are addicted to drugs. I will have a Superior Court judge from San Mateo County, Richard Livermore, and I'll have an internal medicine doctor, William Gallet, who will join us to do this. He specializes actually in addictive medicine or medicines to help people who are addicted to drug problems. Actually, William Glatt, I misspoke. William Glatt, G-L-A-T-T. Ellen, welcome to the program. Ellen, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am here. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Of course.
I am a landlord, and I have a tenant who repeatedly pays the rent late.
How late?
Okay. 5 days, 10 days, mm-hmm. They ultimately pay it.
Okay.
And they pay the late fee that the lease calls for.
Oh, good.
But And that's fine, but it's annoying. I feel like I'm dealing with my teenage children. And, you know, I don't like calling up people and saying, please pay the rent.
Sure.
Where's the rent? So I want to know if the failure to pay the rent timely, not just the failure to pay the rent, the fact that it's not paid timely, which is a requirement of the lease, is itself a breach of the lease.
Well, does the lease say anything specific about if you don't pay it within a certain period of time, there are going to be consequences, or what? Without going into
the lease requires, says that the rent is due on the 1st and late on the 5th.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. And that's, Ellen, that's a very good question. If you will turn, did you have just one tenant or what? Pardon?
I have two units.
Ah.
And these are the tenants in one of the two.
Okay. Well, if you'll turn your radio back up, thank you very much for calling. That's a very good question, and I'm sure you're not the only landlord who is facing that. What comments do you have, if you would, Mark, about that, since you do a lot of representation of
sure.
landlords?
Late payment of rent is a breach of the lease, and in San Francisco, habitual late payment is grounds for eviction under the rent ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
There are problems, however. If you've been accepting the rent late for a period of time, the tenant can argue that you've waived your right to enforce the terms of the rental agreement. So I tell my clients who are landlords who are faced with this problem that the minute the rent is late, you must serve a 3-day notice to pay rent or quit. That usually prompts rapid payment at that point, but you've also created the record that there is habitual late payment,
mm-hmm.
and it helps if it ever actually goes
through. So there you are, Ellen. You're walking, it seems to me, kind of a tightrope on that at this point with what you've told us. Sal, do you have any thoughts on this?
Well, it seems like what Mark has suggested is already too late to employ because there's already habitual late. She can check her rental agreement and see if there's a non-waiver provision. That provision is the good guy provision. It means I can do you a favor, but you can't make me do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, what Mark said is still true. If you do it for too long, it becomes the lease
yeah.
because the actions of the party speak louder than the words.
Yeah.
So she can either change the due date, talk to the tenant, agree on a new due date, or get the tenant to start paying on time and make that become the new way that they behave,
yeah.
you know, the way
yeah.
that they should have from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. And just so Ellen knows where you're coming from, what percentage of your clients are tenants versus landlords?
You know, it changes,
mm-hmm.
but I'd say right now I have close to 50-50.
50-50.
But it
okay.
does change.
Well, so everyone, please understand this. Both of my guests have clients at times that are tenants, clients at times who are landlords. And so we're not, I haven't, let's say, loaded the deck here. At least I don't believe I have loaded the deck here. Again, for those of you listening to the live program on May 20th, the toll-free number, if you have a question, a comment, a concern about landlord-tenant law, 866-798-8255. 866-798-8255. That's a toll-free number. Okay, everybody, bear with us, if you would, for a few seconds. It won't be long, 60 seconds or so. Because you've told KALW that you like the way it does its brief fundraising, this 75-year-old public radio station, which is a gem, is still not commercial and continues to grow. This is the fifth year of on-air fundraising that doesn't interrupt the programs that you value. So our promise, with your continued great support, and you have been, is that it should take no more than about 60 seconds, give or take a few seconds, to ask you to do your part to keep KALW growing. And then, guess what? You get to call that wonderful number, 1-800-525-9917, or go to the website, kalw.org. And I want to let you know that a very generous donor in Menlo Park, who will remain anonymous, has pledged $500 to the station if we will get 15 calls during this hour. 15 calls of pledges by those of you who feel that we are doing great, that you like the way this station is run, you like the short breaks. that you feel that perhaps my program has been of some value to you. I think it has. That's why I developed it some 30-odd years ago. And, Joanne, what comments do you have in the next few seconds?
$50 is our basic membership level. If you can afford a little more, a $120 contribution will get you California Tenants' Rights book by Nolo Press. And this is authored by Janet Portman. And you can get this book, and it'll help you protect your rights as a California renter. It's a guide to landlord-tenant law. 800-525-9917 or online, kalw.org.
All right, everybody, we're going to go back to the program and bear with us. Joshua, welcome to the program.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi. I'm a longtime tenant in San Francisco in a minimally maintained apartment, and new owners recently bought the building, and they want to do some major repairs. They've talked about passing the cost of the repairs through to the tenants. I was wondering what the rules about that are, what the limitations on that might be, or how, if there's a decision between things that are repaired or that are considered capital improvements, and where the line is.
Is this covered? Is your building covered by the rent ordinance, Joshua?
Yeah,
it is. Okay, and you've been living there how long?
Like 20 years.
20 years. Wow, that's incredible. Any questions either of you have for Joshua before I tell him to turn his radio back up? Okay, turn your radio back up, Joshua, and we'll talk about this. Thank you very much for your call. I think it's a great one. Passing the cost of renovation to the tenants.
Absolutely.
Mark, what are you doing here?
It is allowable for a landlord to do that in San Francisco, but there are many, many caveats. The rent board is very careful to describe what they consider to be a capital improvement. Not everything a landlord does to improve a building is covered by that. In addition, the landlord has to submit an incredible amount of documentation. If the rent board has any feelings that what the landlord's claiming is not correct, they will hire someone of their own to go out and come up with what they think it should cost to do this. But the bottom line is it can be done. It is amortized over a period of 10 years, I believe.
They change. It depends on what's being done. Okay. Some are, I believe, 5, 10, and 20, up to 20. They're categorized.
And it is also possible for a tenant to claim hardship exemption.
Yes.
And not have to pay the additional amount.
But this is under the rent ordinance.
This is in San Francisco, the rent
ordinance. What about statewide? What's the law statewide on this? Do you know?
Capital improvements can be passed along to the tenants at market rate.
Really?
Yeah.
So give us an example, would you mind, how that might work?
So a state law example outside of San Francisco,
yes.
If the landlord puts on a new roof and it costs $20,000 and it's a two-unit building, they can increase the rent with proper 30 or 60-day notice, depending on how much they raise it, less than 10%, 30 days notice, more than 10% increase in rent, 60 days notice, and they simply just raise the rent to cover for the cost of the roof, and they're governed by the market. It works really well in those places because not everybody wants to live there. So if you go too high, the tenant will leave.
Sure.
And they, you know, you usually have a relationship, so they'll figure out a number that makes sense for the landlord to get paid back. In San Francisco, because everybody wants to live here, it doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
So in San Francisco, you have to apply to the rent board to get permission to pass on the cost, and they will review your request.
I see. Okay. All right. Well, Joshua, I hope that is of some help to you. There's not an awful lot he can do.
He can call the rent board, and they'll give him a copy of the petitions. He can get it online. They'll give him the schedule and the amortization breakdown. So he can arm himself with all that if he thinks it's coming, or he can just wait. But there's nothing he can do to stop it.
Yeah, Joshua, I think it's always good if you take the aggressive position and get the information so that you really are aware of what's going on. I'm a great believer in people educating themselves, and that's why I developed this program. 30-some-odd years ago, 31 years ago. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I live in Berkeley, and I live in a duplex that the Berkeley Rent Board calls a golden duplex because, for various reasons, historical reasons, it's not subject to rent control.
Oh.
Now, my question is...
That's interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why they call it a golden duplex.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, yeah.
Okay, so my question is, I get along really well with my landlord, but he's quite old, and he has told me it's likely that his descendants, when he passes, are going to put the building on the market.
Yeah.
Now, I was on a lease for a year, but, you know, as is traditional, I am month to month now, and he's not interested in writing a lease for whatever reason. I haven't asked.
Right.
So my question is when he dies, how soon typically can the family say, okay, you've got to be out of here? Now, I assume they'll have to give me a 60-day notice. I assume that that's correct.
Well, let's stop right there. Is that right, Mark?
Yeah. Any tenancy more than a year, he's got to give 60 days.
And that's under state law.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead, Jeff.
So my question is, typically, under such circumstances, how fast can the descendants move? How fast can they legally give a 60-day notice?
As soon as they become owners.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I assume also, because I'm not under rent control, that whoever my landlord is can raise the rent as much as they want with, what, a 30-day notice or a 60-day notice?
It depends on how much they raise it. If they raise it less than 10%, 30-day notice. If it's more than 10%, 60-day notice.
And there's no limit to how much they can raise it above, over 60 days. Is that right?
The usual limit is market rate, but, you know, what that is probably subject to the landlord's discretion as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't raise the rent for the purpose of evicting somebody.
I mean, can a landlord under these state circumstances, state law, raise the rent 25%?
Yes.
Really?
They can.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You have to bear in mind.
Who would I go to if, let's say, the descendants want me out very quickly? But they decide to raise the rent rather than, you know, give me 60 days. If the rent increase, I mean, who determines what's greater than market rate, and who would I appeal to in such a case?
I'm afraid there's no answer to that, because the landlord will determine what the rent is, mm-hmm. and if he feels it's what he wants and he thinks he can get it, he's entitled to ask you for it. It's as simple as that. Without rent control, you're in a bad position.
You know, Jeff, what a suggestion I have for you at this point, because it's really a very good investment and it's not expensive, I think you should call the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. And that number, if you'd like to jot it down.
I can get it. Thanks.
Yeah, okay. And ask them to set you up for a half-an-hour consultation with an attorney who represents tenants. And get the basic facts in half an hour, and I think you'll pay something like $35. I think it's a great way to get some basic understanding and know what your rights and what the problems may be.
Yeah, I expect when, you know, the event happens that, you know, I will eventually have to move, and I'm just looking to be prepared for that time, you know, what my options are at the time.
Well, good luck to you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Jeff. Take care now. All right. I think we have Ted. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I live in Oakland. And I live in a building that's covered by rent control. There's a little confusion in how much they can raise my rent. I know it's set by the city, and it could vary from year to year. However, at one point they gave me actually a rent reduction because I was just starting out here as a teacher. I wasn't earning very much, and they were very nice. The owner granted a rent reduction. And then sometimes they didn't raise the rent at all, and then sometimes they did. And then they told me the property management firm, who's taking care of the property for the owner, said that they are allowed by law to, if they did not raise the rent in the past, and let's say the rent went up by 3%, they can add on to that 3%. To make up for the time period that they didn't raise the rent. And when it gets kind of confusing, in terms of understanding how they got from my last rent to the present rent, when it seems like it's more than 3%, whatever the percentage is that year. They tell me I should just go to the rent board in Oakland to figure it out. They will not cooperate by discussing anything more with me. Is that normal?
Let me get some comments for you. Turn your radio back up, if you would, Ted, and let me get some comments for you. Who would like to start? Sal, please.
Yeah, sure. Ted, I think that it's good advice to go to the Oakland Rent Board. In San Francisco, a rent increase that takes advantage of years that increases were not imposed is called a banked rent increase. So if the rent wasn't increased for several years, even if they skipped a year, they just have to put it in the notice and clearly say what year your rent is being raised and what the percentage is that's applicable to that year. And then, of course, the total has to be correct, and they don't compound the interest. It's just straight interest against your current rent. The Oakland Rent Board can probably clear this up for you over the phone. And if not, just go down there with a notice and have them look at it. I know in San Francisco they'd be able to explain it to you fairly quickly. I think Oakland would be the same. I don't practice in Oakland, but what I told you about San Francisco is correct, and I think it's pretty similar in Oakland as well.
Mark, any very brief comment on this?
I agree with everything that was just said. Oakland's ordinance is similar to San Francisco in that regard.
What I want to let you know, we're coming to the end of the statewide version of the program. For those of you who are listening to the program live, we will continue, so don't go away. And I want to let you know for next week, the end of the month, May 27th, it will be our call a lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. The topic will be drug addiction and hope for those persons who are addicted to drugs. My guest will be San Mateo County Superior Court Judge Richard Livermore. He presides over the drug court in San Mateo County, and Dr. William Glatt, a specialist in addiction medicine. It is about 7:28 and a half. What I want to do is have you stay with us. Again, I want you to know that I want you to call in with your questions, your comments, whatever. The toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And I'd like you to be patient with us. I want to remind you that there is a very generous donor in Menlo Park who wishes to remain anonymous, who has pledged $500 to the station. If there are 15 calls from those of you who are supporting the growth of KALW, so if you will do that within the next, half an hour or so, she will, and I can just say this woman who has made this pledge is a woman, she will donate $500 to the station. Again, you know, this station, if you've been listening to it, and of course not all this time, it's 75 years old, so it's a real gem. It's still non-commercial, and it continues to grow. And this is the fifth year under the leadership of Matt Martin, the general manager, that we're doing non-interrupting programs that you value. And it's very, very important that you continue to support this movement so that we don't become commercial. So we're going to spend 60 seconds, sometimes 90 seconds, to ask you to do your part to keep KALW growing. And it's 1-800-525-9917 or go to the website, kalw.org.
As Chuck was saying, we have a goal of 15 of you. That's 15 of you who are new and renewing members to KALW to show your support for your legal rights, which has been on the air for over 30 years on KALW. 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW-917. $50 is our basic membership level. If you can afford $120, we will send you the book, California Tenants' Rights by Janet Portman, put out by Nolo Press. Yours for a contribution of $120. That's $10 a month on credit card. 800-525-9917. That's 800-KALW 917.
And California tenants' rights, by the way, is just a penny under $30 if you were to buy it. It's an outstanding book. By the way, I want you to know that Nolo Press is not a funder of this program, but it's the generosity of Nolo that they have contributed these books. And so I hope you take advantage of it if you are a tenant, or maybe even if you're a landlord, to make a pledge to the station of $120 and ask to get your copy of California Tenants' Rights. Let's go back to the program. This is Your Legal Rights. If you're still with us, I hope you are. And I want to let you know who my guests are, very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys, and I want you to take advantage of the fact that they are here by calling here with on this toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And they are Mark Seidenfeld, who has law offices in San Bruno, and Salvatore Timpano, who has law offices in San Francisco. So take advantage of the fact that they are here. If you are a tenant and are having a problem, they can give you some information that may be helpful to you in dealing with the issue, whether you are a tenant or a landlord. Both of my guests represent, at different times, of course, tenants, and at other times, landlords. Never the same case, of course. And so they've got a lot of information that may be really helpful to you in what you should do next. So I hope you will take advantage of this. And there are many, many questions that people can ask, and I know that if you're not bashful, we'll hopefully be able to get you going in the right direction. And I also want to mention something to you that, while we're waiting for you to call in, support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and now Marin County, by the way. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, and that number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you are in any other county in California, because we are on the internet at www.klw.org, which actually goes all over the country. But if you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and a lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what your problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you, set you up for a half an hour consultation with the attorney. And what you will pay, with minor exception, is somewhere for half an hour between $25 to $35. And that doesn't go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep that service going, which is really a public service. So, okay, we have now, it looks like, Sandra. Sandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you. First of all, I want to make a comment. When the renters call in, it would be interesting to know how much rent they're paying.
That's a good, Sandra, that's a great idea.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, now I have a question.
Yeah.
I purchased a rental property in San Francisco about 10 years ago, and there was a tenant who's still living there. She was paying $225 a month. She's been here since 1974.
She's still paying $225 a month right
yes.
now?
Yes. And thing is that of late, I would say the past couple of years, she only comes here twice a week for an hour to pick up her mail.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm wondering what we can do about that.
Let me ask you this. Is there anyone else living in the unit, even though she only...
No.
Okay. So I wonder why she wants to keep it.
Yeah, me too.
So is there any... Okay, so here we have a tenant who some might characterize as an absentee tenant, only showing up to get the mail a couple of times a week. Strange that this tenant would still have the mailbox for the Sandra's place. But do you have some thoughts on that, Mark?
Sure. This situation is not uncommon in San Francisco. The only variation here is that nobody else is living in the unit.
Yeah.
That's what's odd.
Yeah.
Many times rent-protected tenants will move out and sublease the place and collect more rent than the landlord is collecting from the tenant. In any event, the rent board in San Francisco does have a procedure where a landlord can go into the rent board and file a petition basically saying that the tenant doesn't really live here and I should be able to raise the rent to market rate. And the rent board will conduct a hearing on that. I have prevailed in them representing landlords, but it's very difficult because you have to really come up with evidence that the tenant is living somewhere else. And that could be showing that they've asked for a homeowner's exemption somewhere else. This is the kind of thing you really want to talk to an attorney about who's experienced in this area.
Have you tried talking to an attorney about this, Sandra?
No.
Yeah. Okay. It's probably time for you to do that.
Oh, okay.
And where do you live, Sandra?
I live in NOPA, it's called. North
of the Panhandle.
Oh, north. Okay, so you live in San Francisco also.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
All right. Well, I really think, if I may say this, and I'm not trying to have attorneys make money, believe me, that's not the whole purpose of this program. But I think in terms of your protection and know what your rights are and what to do, and you've got an investment in that property.
Yeah.
And it's worth it for you to make it a further investment by sitting down with an experienced real estate, landlord, tenant, attorney, and discussing this. And that would be also a deductible, depending on your overall income, it would be a deductible business expense. To pay the attorney for the advice that you're getting. So I think you really need to do that.
I think so, too. I really appreciate your program. Thanks, Chuck.
Well, thank you.
Thank the two lawyers there.
Well, yeah. Hey, I'm not between them, and there's no blood being spilled. These guys are friends here.
It's still early, though.
Oh, yeah, it's still early. Still early, Sandra. The guy who I'm always worried about blood spilling is James Coy Driscoll, and unfortunately, Coy couldn't join us today. He called me just a few hours ago saying he was quite ill, and I could tell from his voice, because I was going to have these three guys here. Can you imagine? Having three attorneys here, and of course I'm on the other side of the table here, and of course I'm an attorney also. That's pretty scary. Okay. Hey, good luck to you, Sandra.
Thanks, take
care. All right. You guys are being kind of shy tonight. What's going on out there? Come on. I've got about another nearly 20 minutes of these two very experienced attorneys, Mark Seidenfeld and Sal Timpano, who are here to respond to your questions, your comments, your concerns. 866-798-8255. There's no cost involved here, folks. This is a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. Take advantage of this. Don't say at 2 minutes of eight, gosh, I wish I had called. That won't work. By the way, just so that you know what's going on, and I want to repeat this again for you, whether you're in the Bay Area or listening on the Internet, we are doing Call a Lawyer next week. That's May 27th. And if you're not familiar with it, there will be a number of attorneys in the conference room here at KLW, probably seven or eight, including a landlord, tenant, or two, and several other areas of law that will be covered by other attorneys. And the magic number, which I think at this point you probably have memorized, I hope, 1-800-525-9917, is the number you will call to speak with them off the air while I'm doing the live program next week, May 27, starting at 7. You'll be able to talk with these attorneys off the air with no obligation on your part whatsoever. So I hope you will take advantage of it wherever you are in California. And if those of you are somewhere else in the United States, you're welcome to call in also, although we principally do California law here, but there are some topics that may well be of help to you, even if you're out of California. Vivian, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you so much. I have to say that your program is one of my absolute favorites on KLW, and I hope that everybody listening will support the program as much as possible.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Vivian, for saying that. Go ahead.
My question is, I actually have rental property in Oakland. It's a separate unit on our property. And we, since we are living in close proximity to our tenants, it's to our advantage to have less people in the apartment than more people. So I'm wondering how one can, if it's legal to, and how one could put verbiage in a lease so that one could perhaps offer a rebate or something to help if it's going to be just one person living in a two-bedroom apartment versus two people, for example.
Well, how many people are living in your separate unit now?
Right now, there's only one person.
One person, okay.
But sometimes there's two people.
And do you have a written lease, Vivian, with this person?
Yes, absolutely.
You do. And is the written lease something that is still active at this point, or has it gone to now month to month?
No, at the end of each year, we renew the lease and start it.
So the lease still covers this. Any questions for Vivian before you respond? I guess
no.
Not. So turn your radio back up, Vivian, would you? Thank you very much for calling and giving us that question. What about the rebate she's talking about?
Well, I suppose you could do that, but I'm not really sure why you would want to.
Yeah.
If you say in the lease that this unit is being rented to one person, mm-hmm. and that there's no subleasing allowed, in theory, that should take care of the problem. However, there is one big exception, which is a family member, which is very broadly defined, a spouse, a child, a grandchild, a sibling, or the spouse of a sibling, can move in. Regardless of the limitation.
Really?
Yeah.
That's state law.
That's national law.
That's national
There's law. Been Supreme Court cases on that.
Yeah, right. What
the actual definition in Oakland of family is, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. But it's probably similar to San Francisco's. And I suppose you could offer a rebate and say, you know, don't have a roommate and I'll reduce your rent.
Uh-huh.
But why not get that clear at
sure.
the very beginning of the tenancy?
Sure.
Yeah, I agree with what Mark just said. Also, if this tenancy is already underway, but if you think there's going to be more than one person, then you just ask for that amount of rent that, you know, for the maximum occupancy of the unit. Because the unit, there is some ordinance in the city that limits how many people could live in that square footage.
Yeah.
And you can get that either from the rent ordinance in Oakland. If they don't have it, they'll tell you where to refer, you know, they'll refer you to the proper place. And then that would be your limitation. But otherwise, a family member's moving in.
Okay. Good luck to you, Vivian, on that one. All right, Matt, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're on the air, my friend. Go ahead.
Okay, so I had moved into an illegal rental, knowingly moved into an illegal rental, the Mirror Beach, and have ended my tenancy, had to sue the landlord for a refund of security deposit, found that this is a practice for the landlord. And I had heard on your program previously, somebody who had rented an illegal unit in San Francisco, one of the guest attorneys had said, you're actually entitled to sue for the entirety of the rent you paid as you were rented an illegal unit. I have two questions for you. One, is that true, and can I pursue a complete refund of 2 years of rent? And part two, is there anything I can do just as a concerned citizen to somehow stop this landlord from predatory leasing?
Matt, what city again are you in?
Muir Beach, California, West Marin.
Oh, yeah, Marin County, okay. And there's no rent ordinance in Marin, is there?
No.
No.
Not that I'm aware
okay.
of.
Okay, all right. Let me get, I do remember vaguely, Matt, yes, this comment being made by one of my guests on one of the past programs that we did on landlord-tenant law. If you'll turn your radio back up, let's get some comments on this again. Want to start with Sal, please, on this one?
Yep. So with respect to the past rent that you paid, that's an argument that would be made based on fraud. It might be made based on illegal contract as well. If you knew that the unit was illegal when you moved in, it would cut against your counter-argument because you would knowingly have participated in the fraud and the illegal contract.
Yeah.
But if you didn't know, your argument in a rent-controlled jurisdiction would be, I thought I was getting a unit for my whole life, and I was going to live in it for such, you know, this many years. And now the landlord has a built-in eviction here that he can do against me by, you know, removing the unit. So I've lost all the future rent savings. And while I'm at it, I want the back rent savings because I got duped into this deal.
But this is under the rent ordinance. What about state law, though?
Under state law, it would not have the forward rent differential as a claim for the tenant, but you would still have the fraudulent contract and illegal contract for the back rent paid. The landlord's argument's going to be, okay, but you did get use out of it, so I'm entitled to that money. That would be the landlord's argument. Who wins? I don't know.
How about you, Mark? Any comments?
I agree with everything that was just said. The landlord is entitled to receive the reasonable value of the property, which typically is the rent.
Yeah.
The other question the caller had about being a good citizen and turning them in somehow works to the tenant's disadvantage, because then the building inspector comes out, cites the landlord, and says,
you have
to get the tenant
out.
I would definitely not recommend you do that.
You know, Matt, I think what you might want to also do at this point, and it sounds like you haven't done this, is contact the Marin County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents tenants. That would be very helpful for you at this point, and it's not going to cost much, probably anywhere between $25 to $35 for half an hour. I think that would be worth it for you to make that additional investment. Okay, I want to take just a few seconds here. Again, I want to remind you that this very generous donor in Menlo Park has made a commitment to contribute to KLW $500 if we can get 15 of you to call in and pledge to the station. And so I hope you will do that to help this station continue to grow. This has been, by the way, as I've said before, the fifth year of on-air fundraising that doesn't interrupt the programs that you value. And you've told the station you really like that. So the promise of the station, and I want to include myself on this, is that with your continued great support, we in taking no more than maybe 60, sometimes 90 seconds to ask you to do your part to keep KL growing, you are our partner. And please call 1-800-525-9917 or go to the website, kalw.org. I hope that you will make that pledge and contribute. One of the things that Joanne has said just a few minutes ago, for those of you who would like to make a pledge to the station of $120, NOLO in its graciousness, NOLO Books in its graciousness, has donated a number of its large paperback books, outstanding, frankly, California Tenants' Rights, written by Janet Portman and David Brown. Again, I want to let you know, NOLO is not a funder of this program, never has been. I'm a believer in what NOLO has done to try to educate not only lawyers, but laypersons about their legal rights. So if you want to make a pledge of $120 for California and ask for California Tenants' Rights, it will be sent to you. Joanne, what comments do you have?
We have a goal of 15 for this hour of your legal rights, and the good news is that we're over halfway there. We need 7 more people, new or renewing members, to meet our goal for this hour, and if we can do it, a generous donor from Menlo Park will give us an additional $500, and that would really help towards our overall goal of $375,000, which we need to reach by tomorrow. 800-525-9917. We only have 10 minutes to get 7 more of you to contribute during this hour of your legal rights. This is the last time we'll be asking you for your support during this program. So please do it. Show your appreciation for Chuck Finney and the over 30 years that he's given to KALW in producing and hosting your legal rights. 800-525-9917 or online, kalw.org.
Thank you, Joanne. And do we have Sandra again on the line? Is this another Sandra or a different Sandra?
Yeah.
Is this Sandra?
Yes, it is.
Is it a different Sandra?
Yes, it is.
Well, hi, Sandra. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
I have just 2 questions. One of them I think I know the answer of. The other one I don't. I live in a very large complex in Richmond, And they've been raising the rent 10 to 15% each year that I've been here. It's been 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. And they give you a contract. They give you a choice of two contracts. And if you don't accept the 10-month or the 12-month lease, okay, each year, then they raise it to this ungodly rate that nobody would want to pay. So they kind of bully you into accepting another contract. I mean, and, you know, signing another lease. And the thing that bothers me about this is that other tenants are coming in and they're paying a lot less. In fact, I've seen some of the units in this complex advertised on Craigslist. Okay, for a lot less than they're wanting me to pay. So is that legal?
So how long have you been a tenant
of this?
I've
been there 3 years.
3 years. And Sandra, there is no rent ordinance where you live. Is that right? In Richmond?
No, I don't think so. Not in Richmond.
And you have not gone to see a lawyer?
No, I haven't.
And Richmond is which county?
Contra Costa?
Contra
Costa.
Contra Costa, yeah, okay. Again, I would suggest to you that it might be worth it for you to call the Contra Costa County Bar Association, ask for their lawyer referral service, and you know, spend a little bit of money, $25 to $35, to get some basic information. But let me get some comments for you on a statewide legal basis from my guests. So turn your radio back up so that you can hear what they have to say, will you?
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. Yeah, we'll have some comments for you. We have all lines are lighted now coming into the station, coming into the studio. No way are we going to be able to get to all of you. I think we may be able to get to maybe one or two more. Let me suggest this. For those of you who we don't get to tonight, we are doing Call a Lawyer next week, Wednesday, May 27th, where you can talk to a number of attorneys off the air, including we will have at least one landlord-tenant attorney, possibly two. It's hard to say at this point. But starting at 7 o'clock next Wednesday, May 27th, you'll be able to talk to attorneys off the air while I'm doing the live program. And that number, again, is the magic number, which we've been talking about during this this program, as well as the fundraising campaign of the station, 1-800-525-9917. Put it down, please, 1-800-525-9917. What comments do you have for Sandra, starting with you, Mark, if you don't mind?
Well, it's very common for apartments in the same building or complex to have different rents. It's basically what the market will bear. I'm not sure how a landlord can force an existing tenant to sign a lease if you're already there. When the last lease expires, the terms continue in effect, except that it's a month-to-month tenancy, which means in theory they could terminate your tenancy with a 30-day, well, actually a 60-day notice. But other than that, I'm not really sure what to say.
Anything you have?
No, I agree with Mark. Those are called adhesion contracts, meaning you either adhere to it or you don't, and it's being offered in lieu of the tenant just having to be in the precarious position of getting a 60-day notice. So even though it's being presented in a way that seems harassing, it's actually giving the tenant an option to opt out of getting a 60-day notice.
Yeah.
So it's either a 10-month lease or a 12-month lease. These are the only two you can pick, or you can just stay on month-to-month and risk getting a 60-day notice.
Sandra, go contact the Contra Costa County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. Obviously, this is really something bothering you. It's a small investment you have to make for a half an hour consultation. It could be very helpful to you in the future. Is this Lois? Welcome to Lois or Lewis?
Lois.
Hi, Lois. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I was interested in the caller who said she had bought some property with a renter already in it, only paying about $225 or $229 a month for a long time. And I was kind of curious why nobody informed her that each year she can get a cost of living increase, and she can also go back 10 years to recoup if the person's been there for 10 years, whether she's been the owner during that 10 years or not, if the rent had not increased, she can go back 10 years and recoup all those percentages, which could end up getting her like about $35 to $45 a month more, because that would end up to be 15 to 20% increase, because each year it's increased from 1% to 3%. It's only been 1 year where really wasn't increased at all. I think that was 2008, somewhere around there. And anyway, so I was just wondering.
Let me get some comments, Lois. Very good comments on your part. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Let me get some comments for you. Turn your radio back up, if you would. Mark, what about that?
What the caller said is true. You can bank rent increases and go and impose them later. The landlord can also petition the rent board saying it's a hardship and the rent is way below market and want to increase it beyond what the rent ordinance ordinarily allows. The reason we didn't talk about it, we addressed another issue that she had brought up in. But what the caller just said is true.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I want to thank you both very much for joining us on the program. Joanne, I think we're getting to the end of our program here. My guests have been both very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys, Mark Seidenfeld and Sal Timpano. Thank you, gentlemen, very much.
Thank you, Chuck.
It's been great having you on the program, and I appreciate it very much. I look forward to seeing you in the very near future. Thank you, everybody. Next week, again, I want to remind you, we will have Call a Lawyer Night, and that number is 1-800-525-9917, where you will be able to talk with attorneys off the air while I'm doing the live program. Thanks so much for listening to Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.